Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, November 28th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It goes.
Excellent. That's so much better than it not going at all. Dave Hamilton.
It's true.
Yeah. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's great to have both of you today. And I'm glad we all survived the Thanksgiving holiday. So go us. We have a couple things to talk about today, so we might as well just jump right in. There is a report out that says the next iPhone, meaning the one that comes out in 2017, which could be iPhone 7S or it could be iPhone 8 or whatever Apple decides to call it. Anyhow, the new iPhone is supposedly going to have a 3D camera. And since it requires dual camera lenses, that tells me that this would be an iPhone Plus model feature and not something on the 4.7 inch model. And I'm curious, what do you guys think? Is Apple going to give us 3D photos on our iPhones now?
I don't know, man.
Seems like a oddly specific feature to add.
It does.
It does, and it seems like an oddly specific feature that no one's clamoring for. Of course, one of Apple's strong suits is giving us things that we don't know what we want. At least that was a strong suit under Steve. I don't know. I'm not feeling this one.
I have a hypothesis on what this could be. And I'm thinking maybe not actual 3D photos. And just to be clear, so people know what we're talking about, we're not talking about something that looks like a hologram where you can spin it around 360 degrees and see all the sides, but talking about something that to me would be more like ViewMaster, where you create this illusion of depth in an image. What I think Apple may be going for, if this is the path they're going down, is the variable focus thing, where you snap an image and then you can use like a slider or something and change what part of the depth of field you're actually focusing on.
Well, so that's almost an evolution of where they are with the camera, the portrait pictures that they're doing in the iPhone 7 Plus right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's a little different. I mean, 3D, it certainly falls under the umbrella of 3D, but to me, that sends a different message than adjustable focus on these pictures, which is more along the lines that sounds plausible. And again, sort of an evolutionary step of where they are already. So, yeah, I could see that. Sure.
All right.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that.
That. Yeah. That I can see.
But like a 3D video camera kind of thing. All right. Now we're getting a little weird. Like, how much of that's really important? Where are you going to... Like, 3D TVs did not catch on.
No.
No.
Not at all.
No. It's awful, in fact. I mean, I have one. I didn't buy it because it was 3D. It just happened to come with glasses and supports it. But it's not... I mean, it's not really all that much fun or really enjoyable at all.
Bandwidth is an issue, too, right? A 3D video in particular, as opposed to a 3D still.
It's 3D double.
Stills would be fine.
A 3D video at worst is double, right? And with compression is probably less than double. Because it's mostly the same. You know, it's two films happening in parallel is essentially the way that works.
Is it roughly double? But with
Well, because of compression, it would not be double at all. Right, because it's two films, but it's really two slightly different angles of the same film. So the way video compression works, it might be only 20% more.
Right, that's true. Bang. Still not seeing it. Plus, it's I guess the question too is how we would view them. Now, Apple has patents related to viewing 3D that doesn't require glasses, doesn't require any kind of 3D glass 3D glasses that you put on your face. But we haven't seen any of that stuff yet. And I don't really like the idea that that's coming to iPhone first. That doesn't quite make sense to me.
Well, I could see why, if it were coming, why it would come to an iPhone first, because that's where you're going to be taking the photos first. But
right, it would have to start there before it would make sense to deliver the product on, so say, a MacBook or an iPad.
But now you're talking about, or TV, but now you're talking about, because the patents are actually related to TVs, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But now you're talking about not just messing with the camera setup, but you're also talking about messing with the display.
Mm-hmm.
And messing with the display not only has thickness issues, it is the sort of thing that can actually affect, could theoretically affect the clarity of all images on your display. And that's the biggest reason why I said it seems, it would be surprising to me if,
what if Apple
was doing this?
What if Apple did this in a way that doesn't jive with the true 3D stuff that we're familiar with, say, from having to put the crappy glasses on to watch on a television, and instead is something more like where it's creating a parallax effect in an image. So you don't need to have a different screen, you don't need to have special glasses, but instead of getting that thing where you see the depth going deep into the photo, as you're moving your camera or your iPhone around some, the tilt shift thing to make pieces kind of move back and forth.
Now you're back to your playing with the depth of field.
Right. Which totally fits with, again, the technology that Apple bought last year.
Right. And that could be a way of, that could be something I could see for sure.
Yeah.
I don't really think that, you know, like people, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a huge selling point like the portrait mode maybe on the 7 Plus. But it might be.
You know, for average people that are looking for a cool new feature on their iPhone, and by average people, I mean people that are not like us, that are looking at what is the resolution of the camera sensor, and how much storage do you have, and what version of Wi-Fi does it have, and Bluetooth does it have. But people that are looking for something that's visually compelling on a new device, I could see where showing on stage a video of tilting your iPhone back and forth and seeing image parts kind of slide around with that depth of field, I could see where that could be a compelling thing to show. But for people like us that have specific needs for our cameras, it sure would feel more like a gimmick. But being able to adjust the focus dynamically after I take a shot, now that's useful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that kind of falls into that whole, like, RAW plus realm, right?
Right.
Like, let the camera capture what the camera captures, and then let's worry about the rest later. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we're getting into... It would have to be presented or implemented in software in a way that made sense for consumers, not for pro camera or, you know, pro photographers.
Yes.
Just as, I mean, it wouldn't have to be, but it would make more sense if it were, because that's how Apple is.
Yes.
Yep. I'm totally with you.
Yeah. But right. Yeah, I'll buy that.
So the feeling go ahead, Brian.
No, I was about to do what you're going to do, so why don't you do it?
All right. So, here's the feeling I'm getting from the discussion we're having right now. We are not sold on 3D photos on the iPhone, but if Apple does something like that, if they go down the path where you can adjust the focus, that seems like a plausible thing.
I'm not only not sold, I'm not even looking at the price tag. I don't even think that price tag is real. I think it's a fake price tag.
All right.
I'm going to extend that metaphor as far as I can.
It's the Texan in you.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. All right, so this is a feature that I'll believe it when I see it. And but hey, as long as we're talking about potential new iPhone features, there's this whole thing that's been going around about say hi to whoever it was.
Yeah, no problem. I'll take care of that for you.
Awesome,
yeah.
Thank you. There's this report bouncing around that Apple's going to be changing the bezel size on the next iPhone, which may also include shifting where the home button is so that it's like in the screen space. And I'm having a little bit of trouble with this one, too. And what do you think, Brian?
Well, this could certainly happen. This could certainly happen. For one thing, it would be a way to make an iPhone smaller, although that you also lose a bit of space to tuck other componentry and battery batteries away in. So, you know, there's that. Here's the interesting thing about that to me is Apple's new buttonless button.
Yes.
Right? The home button that doesn't move. It seems that was no doing that represented an enormous amount of work. It was no mean feat.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that was a, even though on the surface it doesn't seem like a big change, that was a huge change for Apple.
It's a big change for Apple, and it probably took a staggering amount of engineering resources to make work. And it seems really interesting, the idea that Apple would
quickly abandon that.
Yeah, invent this stuff and deploy it and do the manufacturing processes that are necessary to make it all work, and then do it for one generation of product and then get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm not buying that the new touch home button thing is going away on the next iPhone. But I came up with a way that I could kind of stretch it a little bit and come up with a way that it could happen, even though I don't buy it. And it's that we got this button on the new iPhones first, and it's migrating out to the other iOS devices, meaning it will end up on the iPad. And then it could go away on the iPhone. But I'm not buying that. I don't think Apple's doing that.
Well,
I mean, I think yeah, it is coming to the iPads. It's not going away from the iPhone.
Yeah, it will. It will certainly come to the iPads for sure. Here's a way to rationalize my particular bone picking. What if this was a necessary interim step to see how the buttonless aspect would work before they actually because if Apple can do the Touch ID part and have it be on the screen without having this apparatus for a button or a buttonless button, if Apple can do all those things, it would eliminate a lot of things that cost money to make. And maybe Apple needed to test the buttonless button concept in such a way that we see on the iPhone 7 before it could actually look at eliminating that bezel. What do you guys think? In other words, this wasn't an invention. It's not an invention necessarily that's going to go away after one generation of devices.
No, it's the beginning of the evolution.
Right.
Right. The change away from having a real button. So now we don't have a real button anymore, but we do have this Touch ID sensor that sits in the place of where a button was. And when you push it, it's like a trackpad. So now we can sort of make it like a trackpad where the whole thing is a sensor and we don't really need a button.
All right. I could see this transitioning in the way you just described, but it's not something that goes away next year.
Well, it could. And I'm not necessarily buying into this idea, mind you. I'm not saying that. I'm just looking for the holes in my argument that, you know, why would they just do this thing for one generation? And this is one way to possibly explain that. I still find it very interesting, the idea that you could somehow have the sensor be embedded in the glass and it not affect the display underneath it.
Yeah, if Apple could do that, that would be a compelling reason to get rid of the home button as we have it today.
And I think there's some discussion about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think that's improbable.
Yeah, if Apple goes down that path, I'll be very interested to see what they do for assistive technologies. And specifically, what do you do for people that are visually impaired, that right now rely on the tactile cue of being able to feel where that button is?
Right.
Right. And Apple is very, very sensitive to that sort of thing.
Yes.
Of course, you know, you could put nubbins, like little tiny nubbins, on the bottom or the side. Right. You could put in the tactile cues elsewhere, and then you could have cases could have that same tactile cue on there, right? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's ways around that.
All right, so the vibe I'm getting right now is that we're not getting all excited and worked up about the possibility of these changes that we're hearing about, and not because they may be bad ideas, but because we're just not buying that Apple's going down that path yet.
Yeah, these are things that could happen. Dave, you pointed out on our meeting today, you pointed out that we first started hearing about the headphone jack going away about a year ago.
It was maybe 11 and a half months ago, but yes, it was. This is not too early to hear about things that actually are going to happen.
I would quibble and say not necessarily too early.
Not necessarily, right?
Because most of our heavy rumors and leaks start developing in that January to March timeframe. Mm-hmm. And then by June, July is when we start getting the for sures.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's way too early for a for sure. And you know, we always have this thing that Apple.
It's not too early for a for sure. Apple needs to have made this decision already in order to get this thing rolling, right? If they're going to totally redesign what this phone is, my guess is they made this decision 6 months ago.
Yeah, but there's a difference between Apple making its internal decision and actually having a quality leak that is in that for sure realm.
Yeah, but
and that's what I meant.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So what you're saying is it could be for sure, but we won't have anything to qualify that probably for a few more months.
Yes.
Okay. I'll accept that.
To Dave's point, what is going into the next iPhone is pretty much set in stone within Apple.
It would have to be, especially if they're doing a major redesign, which it sounds like they are. Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. But before we go, real quick, I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. Brian, you're working on a piece about spam that's showing up in the Calendars app.
Yes.
Tell me
about
that.
Yes, I am. The really short version is that the reason why you're seeing that spam, maybe in your notifications and maybe in your calendar app, is because of a feature within iCloud that automatically takes an email, an incoming email with a calendar invitation, converts it to something in iCal, and then essentially deletes the email from you as if it never was. And
except we don't call it iCal anymore.
Brian is so old school.
Yeah, what do we call it, Dave? What's it called? Calendar these days?
The app is Calendar, but it really...
Yes, it is.
It's not even... It's putting it in your iCloud calendar because it will sync to whatever calendar you've got synced to your iCloud calendar. Yeah.
A fair point.
So it's all happening on the server is what's happening.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And you have to change this. I'm going to have the directions an article. You have to, if you change the automatic conversion to from a notification to email, these things will remain an email. Of course, that also means that any other incoming calendar invitations you're getting will also only be an email, right?
Right.
And then you can delete these without sending a notification. That's kind of, I mean, because if you decline, what you're telling the spammer is, yep, this email address is good to go.
So what happens? Because I've got one of these, right? I've got a, you know, thing that's
most
like
of us got them over the weekend.
Yeah, 3 week long event or something for Ugg boots or something. What's the best thing for me to do with this? Can I just delete it from my calendar?
Well, you can't delete it from your calendar without choosing without declining it. I don't think there's any way to do that.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try it right now. So I'm going to delete it, and it's gone. Now I did that in the BusyCal client. So perhaps BusyCal's client either sends the "I declined," and in which case I've confirmed my email address for these spammers, or it just simply removes it from my calendar.
Right. That is true. Now in iCal, I don't have them anymore. I already deleted them.
You don't have iCal anymore. You have calendar.
Calendar. Thank you.
Mostly authentic, Brian.
I'm gonna end up doing that a couple more times. Just jump on me every time. If you create a new calendar, temporary new calendar, transfer these invitations in calendar to the new calendar. You can then delete the new calendar once you have done so. When you do that, you get a pop-up that asks you, well, do you want me to delete these and send a notification, or delete them without sending a notification?
Bingo.
All right.
And so you would want to choose delete without sending notification. I have screenshots and
explanations. Oh, that's great. Okay, cool. So I really should not have jumped the gun and deleted this. But we'll ask the BusyCal folks what just happened to Dave so that you'll know.
Yes.
That sounds awesome. All right. Well, Dave, thanks for taking one for the team, potentially.
Yeah, you bet.
and thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm glad both you guys were able to join me today and set me straight on what Apple's doing with the next iPhone. You guys rock. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.